This recording, England 50, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily on Lode Zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Coma Coma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her onto her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't remember paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." Well, I was born in Bristol in 1944. And I came to Voices within a matter of weeks from there. So I've lived virtually, to date, nearly 58 years in Voices itself. Had no wish to live anywhere else. Eldest of 7 brothers and sisters. Married when I was 19. Coming up to year 40. 3 great kids. A wife that I'm getting used to. don't for God's sake play that back to her. And 5 wonderful grandchildren. I discovered very early in life that I have very strong principles about certain things, and I found a way of expressing those through a trade union movement. And I went into the Avon tyre factory at Melksham in 1965, and then within a matter of 2 or 3 years I was elected a steward. I became the senior steward, chairman of the stewards within a couple of years of being elected. And in 1974, the then branch secretary was a senior figure on site and senior negotiator for the factory, 2,679 people on that site at the time. He decided he was going to retire, and I stood for election. I was successful in that election, and I'm still in position of that position of office today. During that period of time, I served on the Regional Committee of the Union, which is the Transport and General Workers Union. I've been a member of the Executive of the Union for 8 years. I served on the National Health and Safety Executive for the rubber sector in this country. Went to Ruskin for a while, so I was to get myself trained up to do the various parts and parcels of what I do on every day. Been through many a hard time trying to keep the company open, but there, all part and parcel. Became a magistrate in 1984. That was an interesting one, but anyway, became a magistrate in 1984. And I'm still there today. There's 80 of us administering the local justice within Salisbury District.